listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. And on today's show, I have my special guest, Miles Black, once again.
Thank you for having me. I love your theme song.
Oh, thank you very much. I found it on, we have a bunch of like random albums and stuff just sitting around in our studios. And one day I just kind of came in and listened to all the different albums. And I found this one. And I didn't know the name of it. So I went back and I found it. And I forgot what it is now. It was something, it had the word gay in it.
Okay.
Which it was a little surprising. Not that that's a bad thing.
I feel like it sounds like a very old-fashioned song, so maybe it was from a time when gay strictly meant just like super happy and
yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
It sounds like it's from the Looney Tunes or something.
Yeah. I like that sound of it. I like the intro to the show.
Me too.
And today we have an issue with the show. That we have talked about before the show. We had a pre-meeting
right.
for the show. That the first show that I had with Miles was called Island Time. The second show was called Island Times. And this show doesn't have a name because, like the movies, Alien and the Aliens, it kind of ends there.
Oh, I would say that the third Alien movie, I guess it was Alien 3, but it's also called Alien Squared.
But I have no idea how I'm going to square it on the computer to be. So when you see the podcast on the website, how are you going to see the little square in the corner?
Oh, I have to find that special character somewhere.
That's going to be difficult. I'm not sure if it's worth it. But for now, let's just say that's what it's about.
Sure.
And before I've interviewed you about your experience growing up on the island, Gabriola, which I finally know how it's located geographically on by using Google Maps like everybody. But today I wanted to talk about something different. You have this jacket that I saw the first time I met you. And I was so curious about this jacket because it's one of those jackets that you see in a movie. Like you see in like, maybe you can help me on this, but there's this movie that was first Untitled, but then they called it Almost Famous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of, like, the band in that movie and Kate Hudson in that movie. This is like one of those jackets they would wear.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, like, if you see the movie, it makes sense. Sorry to all the millennials who haven't seen the movie. Jimmy Fallon's in the movie, if that gets you to watch it. He is. He has a very small
That's
part.
Right. I forgot about that.
He is in it. He's a very small part. He's like the manager of the band.
Okay.
And there's like a part where they're, you know, they're on the road trip. And then they take a plane to come back to do some sort of gig or something.
Right.
And he's trying to like convince them to get on the plane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But all you millennials out there, Jimmy Fallon's in
he's
Almost
in
Famous. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. You guys love Jimmy Fallon. But, yeah, it's one of those types of jackets where it's, like, a light blue denim jacket. And then it has all these, what are these called? These little patches that you have stitched on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, patches.
They're just, okay. I thought there was, like, a special name for them.
Oh, no, you got it. When I bought the jacket from a secondhand store in Victoria when I was, I don't know, I guess it was, like, 2013. And I've been adding patches to it ever since. Mostly band patches, but also, like, artists that I know who make patch art.
Do you know other artists or other people who have jackets like this?
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of people, like, you know, there's a lot of, especially musicians who like to, like, collect band patches and wear them on their jackets or wear them on their bags.
I had no idea, because when, I think I asked you this the first time, too, like, I thought you just bought the jacket.
Oh, no.
I just assumed that people just, you know, bought these, but now I know you don't buy them.
I think you can, but the whole point of it is, like, collage art. It's, like, slowly assembling.
It's kind of like a tattoos.
Yeah, for sure.
Sort of.
Yeah, because you are literally stitching them into this piece of clothing.
Like you would on your body.
Yeah.
But yeah, not it's, stitch.
It's all, well, it is all, like, even tattoo artists call it stitching sometimes.
Oh, do
like,
they? I'm very inexperienced in this whole area. I had no idea there was such a thing as band, what's it called? Band patches. I had no idea what the hell that was, because I've never been to a concert. I've never been to anything like that, so I had no idea that there was such a thing. I just figured, you know, it's like you can buy the pins and the shirts. I never knew there was patches.
Yeah, it's the same kind of idea. It's just, like, cheap promotional material. And, like, patches are some of the cheapest things to make because you can just buy or find fabric from, like, secondhand stores or, you know, alleyways. Just find any fabric and paint on it.
So let's talk specifically about some of these patches. What about this one that says Pizza Punks?
That's by Cole Pauls. I've got a couple pieces by Cole Pauls in this jacket.
And Cole Paul is?
He's a local comic artist and illustrator.
Like a stand-up comic?
No. Like he writes and illustrates comic books.
Oh, okay.
And Pizza Punks is one of his comic series.
Okay. Like, is, like, Garfield and, like, those kinds of comics?
Yeah, sure. Although, I guess more, like, paper-bound zines and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So not so much comic strips, but more, like, comic books.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
A shorter level, like Marvel and DC and
yeah, well,
all that kind of stuff.
He's got his own original series. He's got quite a few of them, but one of my favorites is Dakwakata Warriors, which is these Tahltan characters from up north who are like indigenous superheroes. They're almost like Power Rangers who fly through space, so just like fighting for their people. And it's a really beautiful comic book, and one of the things that I noticed about it immediately was the way that Cole Pauls draws space. It's just this beautiful line drawings that look like, it makes it look like space is all like water currents or like energy fields. Like it's really beautifully textural.
Like usually you would picture just like white dots, which are supposed to be like stars.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ways that like illustrators figure out how to draw space. And this is like one a very original way that I saw that really appealed to me. Like it really kind of highlights how much movement there is in space and how much like energy.
Right. And where did you get the patch? Did he have like a show where he was like selling zines or something like that?
Yeah. He tables around town all the time with like different comic events. I don't know. I can't remember when I bought that from him, but I see him around town all the time. He's pretty friendly and approachable, so if you like his art, you can just sort of message him and buy something.
Oh, sounds cool. An artist you can approach. And then you have, like, this... On the back of the jacket, you have, like, this big... what is it? The British Columbia flag?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a section of it. It's, like, the middle... Section.
Right, where you have the cross and the crown, and then you have, like, the sun cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you, I guess you decided on that because you're from British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And did you just, like, see the flag when they're like, oh, that would be great to just cut up and put on my jacket?
Well, to be honest, I put it on my jacket because I don't like that flag.
Oh, okay. But, okay, why don't you like the flag? Let's talk about that.
Well, you can see on the jacket, I've flipped the image upside down.
Right, yeah, it's upside down. The sun is at the top and the cross is at the bottom.
Yeah, and the crown is at the bottom.
Yes.
And this was sort of like this was a few years ago. It was one of the first things I put on the jacket. And the idea was that I was looking at the BC flag, and I noticed that like the sun was sort of coming up from the bottom, like the sun was rising,
mm-hmm.
and there are blue and white line, wavy lines that I guess could represent a lot of things, but
mm-hmm.
Waves and water and currents. And it seemed like, you know, like it's a depiction of nature, like it's mm-hmm. the sun and the water and the hills. And then above that was the, you know,
the British cross.
Jack, the cross, and the crown, the, you know, the
mm-hmm. the monarchy.
Yeah. And I thought it's a very audacious image to say, like, the crown is above everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sort of as a decolonial message or decolonial symbol, I wanted to flip it upside down.
You
it was as simple
as that.
You wanted
to put nature on top of the monarchy, top of the crown, top of royalty, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't believe that the crown should be above everything.
Mm. But you actually went to Britain, and or mm-hmm. or should I say the UK, and you lived there, and out, and you got cheers from there.
Yeah.
Not the show. the phrase.
Yeah, I picked up a lot of phrases from there.
And even with that experience, you still like to do...
Oh, yeah, I love Britain, but I don't... particularly love the crown influence stretching out over the world. You know, I don't.
And you also don't like the show. Or do you like the show?
The show
do you-
Cheers?
No, there's a show called The Crown.
Oh, I don't even Netflix. Know it.
Okay, that's perfect. And what is this other one down here with the lip? It's like a pink rose, and
Ooh.
Under it says Knots, N-O-T-S.
Yeah, Knots is a band from the States that came up here one time, and I actually missed their show. I never got to see them live,
but
I'm a fan, and my partner Portia went to that show and brought me back a patch.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Yeah. I've never actually seen a band, but... Well, there's a band that came here to, there's a couple of bands who came here to CITR, to all student bands from UBC, and they were doing, like, a performance on the air. And I didn't actually, I got to see some of them perform, and not all of them, because I had to leave. But there was this one band that brought t-shirts with them. Their name was Ghoul.
Mm.
And I just wanted to buy the t-shirt, just so I had, like, a band t-shirt. My first band t-shirt, even mm-hmm. though I've never actually been to see a band or anything like that. And it was just a cool t-shirt. It had, like, I still wear it all the time.
And does it say Ghoul on it?
Yeah, it does. It says
I
Ghoul
like
on it. It's, like, in a circle with, like, it's not like a rose, but, like, this flower thing that a friend of theirs made for them and has, like, her little initial in the corner, and I thought it was just a cool t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
even though I have no idea about the band. It was just cool to have it.
And it's cool that, like, bands get other artists involved in making
yeah.
their merch, like, to say, like, oh, this is art that we like and that we feel represents
mm-hmm.
us in a way. I just think that's a cool way to, like, involve other people in what you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I love that collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Discorder, how they have, like, so many different artists
mm-hmm.
contribute to it.
Yeah, a main part of Discorder is, like, trying to get students involved in the
mm-hmm.
work. Yeah, it's a good system.
Yeah, and they did this, they introduced something new to Discorder, if you've seen it. It's on the program guide, where they've highlighted all the student shows in a different
mm-hmm.
color. So, you know, there's not as many student shows as I thought there would be. I thought there were more.
No, and I think that's part of the reason they did that is
to
encourage more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My show is also highlighted because this is a student show.
Yeah.
And there's another patch here, which I'm not really sure how to describe this one. it's like a blue and pink pattern with, like, I don't know, it kind of looks like some sort of vegetable or kind of corn kind of a drawing. And then on it, it says something, which I can't. I think it's in handwriting.
Yeah,
and
that's,
like,
true. I didn't really realize how difficult that is to decipher.
Like many, I'm sure we learned handwriting in elementary school, or I did. I was not good at it,
and
I disliked it.
It's embroidered handwriting, so it's even harder to read. But
I think it says OKUNT. Which I don't want to say out loud because it kind of sounds like a bad word.
That first letter is an S. It says skunt.
That looks nothing like an S.
Well, that's a embroidered, handwritten uppercase S.
It looks nothing like it. From what I remember from handwriting class like 8 years ago. I don't have a lot of appreciation for handwriting.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, neither do I. I mean, I don't use it ever.
I mean, I like some people's writing, like even handwriting, because it looks cool. What I've always kind of dreamed, this is like a pipe dream. I have no idea what that means. But I think it means like a dream that's not going to happen. I think that's what a pipe dream means.
Yeah, sure.
But what would be really cool is if your own handwriting became a font on like Google Word and on like Microsoft Word and all that.
That's a cool idea.
I know. I've always had the idea like someone's writing becoming a font. Like calligraphy writing or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I bet that could become a program.
Yes. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, Skunt is a local band. and they're kind of like, lately they don't really play shows. they're not broken up, but they go on long hiatuses and they're a group of friends who don't all live together anymore. So I think they play shows whenever they all get together. But if you ever get the chance, check out Skunt. They're one of my favorites and one of the first patches that I added to this jacket.
And what about the one next to it? It's a white background with what looks like teeth outlined in black.
Yeah, that's the band Teeth from Alberta.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I saw them at 333 one time and it was a really good hardcore show.
What is 333?
Oh, it's a local venue. It's down on Clark. It's 333 Clark.
Oh, okay. So they named it after the street.
Yeah. It's a little like a DIY punk space where it's like a garage, basically.
Oh, okay. That sounds cool. And what about, this doesn't look like a patch. It just looks like something that was like sewn in to draw something. I can't even explain this one. It kind of, but I'll give it a try. It's like an 8 in the middle, or like the infinity sign that's vertical. And on the side there's like two like swords like coming in and attacking the 8, but not actually touching it.
That's a cool interpretation of it.
That's what it looks like to me.
That's good. It is, and I think it's meant to be like not an abstract shape, but it's meant to be open for interpretation.
And that's not a patch, is it? Did you stitch that on, or someone
that,
else?
Actually,
it
that
on?
Is a patch that I bought.
Oh, it is. Okay, it doesn't look like a patch.
Yeah, it's from a band called Homo Monstrous, who I met while my band was on tour. And they're a really great duo who, like, they both play guitar with a lot of effects and looping. And they kind of, like, they each build a loop and then kind of feed off one another.
And what is looping?
Oh, looping is where you you record a phrase of, like, a piece of music and... like recorded on a pedal, effects pedal, and then the recorded phrase is looped. Like
you can do it, Miles. You got this.
I do teach music lessons, but I'm not doing a very good job this morning.
This is a great interview for it.
Yeah. Well, welcome to episode 3 of listening to Miles slowly wake up. It's basically just you record a phrase and then it's played on a loop. Like
it's just continuously playing
so that you can make a rhythm out of it.
So you use it like as the backdrop and then you make other stuff on top of it.
Yeah, you can for sure. And they would do that. They would sort of build loops, like record a loop and have it play over and over, and then record something on top of that and record something on top of that and just keep building it.
and they would each be doing this, so they'd have two different loops going at different times that sometimes line up and sometimes don't, and it's a little bit chaotic. And but the whole time they are communicating with one another, mm-hmm. and trying to sync up, and they do, and it's just like the most beautiful thing I've mm-hmm. ever seen. They're one of my favorite bands, and I don't get to see them very often because they're out in I can't remember if it's Regina. Yeah, Regina. We played with them at this curling club on a Monday night, and there was no one there. It was literally just us and the Plodes and Homo Monstrous,
mm-hmm.
and Reed from the Plodes, his dad. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Well, I don't mean to make you a dictionary on the show. It's just that, you know, there are some words that you're saying that I've never heard, and okay. I don't know what they mean, and I'm sure the audience might not know what they mean either.
Sure.
So I'd like to make everything as clear as possible. And what is this one? This one isn't even properly stitched on. You have, like, these, what are these called?
Safety pins.
Safety pins, yeah. And there's, like, okay, this one is a black background, and it's, like, there's, like, three what looks like dots on it, light blue dots. There's, like, a big one and then two ones above it. And then over the whole thing, there's, like, this pink outline of, like, a fox with, like, a bunch of tails.
That's cool.
I have no idea if that's actually what it's meant to be, but that's
again,
what
it's a very abstract shape. And I always saw it as what you describe as the fox tails,
yeah.
which is beautiful. I always thought it was fire.
Okay. I kind of see a face at the top, so I
mm-hmm.
if the face wasn't there, I would probably think it's fire too. But since the face is there, it makes it look like tails.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a nine tails.
Yeah,
if you watch Naruto, the nine tail fox, it kind of looks like that.
Yeah, totally.
But pink.
This is a patch by Jay, who's a member of Homo Monstrous. Also has a solo project called Firestarter, and they came to town a while back and played at Redgate, the old Redgate on mm-hmm. Hastings. And they had this collection of amazing patches, and this is one of the biggest patches I have on my jacket. They had all these big, beautiful patches on their merch table.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Firestarter and look up their art. Look up Jay's Instagram if you can find it. It's good stuff.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to put on a song by Lisa. Gosh, I can never pronounce her name correctly. Or maybe I do, and I'm just, you know, self-conscious. Lisa Provinder Schneider. I'm going to play her song Meditation on Blades of Grass. And if you've listened to my show before, you know that I've played this album many times. But it's because I really like the album. And the person, Lisa, has actually contacted me before. And
oh, really?
I did a show on International Women's Day. And I just thought her album is just perfect for that. And before that, she actually contacted me before that. But I just loved her music, and I played it. And then I don't know how she found out that I played it, because she doesn't regularly listen to my show, I imagine. Or maybe she does. Hi, Lisa. But she sent it in the CITR. It was accepted. And then she searched her song in our database, her search base, and then she found her song.
Cool.
And then she reached out to me and just thanked me for it.
That's great.
I like to play her music, not because she thanked me, that would be very rude, just because I really like her music. I like playing FemCon music, and I feel like it's very, I love the theme of it, musical moments in nature.
Oh,
I love that theme of it.
It's such a beautiful album. I heard it on your last episode.
Yeah, and I played quite a bit.
It was a really nice moment to have that song come on.
Yeah, so I'm going to play the first song again.
Thank you. Allow me to tell you about Unceded Airways.
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you are at.
Are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office. The newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
Hi, welcome back. You are listening to CITR, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory, the Musqueam and Coast Salish Peoples territory. This is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, and I'm your host, Nichuda, and I have a guest with a much better name than mine, Miles Black.
What? A much better name?
I feel like it's much better because Miles is not spelled the way you think it is. It's not like the measurements. It has a Y in there.
Yeah.
It's like M-Y-L-E-S.
Yeah, cheers Miles. For that. A lot of people get that spelled with an I. Your name is great. Nitu. I love that name.
It gets very confusing when someone says, like, I need to do something. It's like, oh, did they say my name? Or if they say, like, me too, like, oh, they said my name.
I didn't think about that.
It comes up a lot. So then sometimes it just becomes, like, a confusing situation. Like, oh, did you call me? Like, oh, no, I didn't. I was talking about myself. I'm like, are you sure? I heard my name. And it just becomes, like, it was a confusing situation.
But I often hear my name because people are talking about how far they traveled to work.
But I
that
feel
day
like that's more clear. Like, I traveled this many miles to get wherever they're going.
Yeah, but it's still a trigger. I still hear it. Like, ah, what's that?
Well, I guess we're similar. Our names are, people find them hard to spell, but they pronounce your name correctly most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is not always pronounced correctly. Mm. If you like saw it, you'll probably say it incorrectly.
That's interesting too, because I saw it and it seems very straightforward to me. But how do people pronounce it or mispronounce it?
It's hard. It's hard to do it because I hate to mispronounce it.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was in grade 12, we were planning for like the commencement where you walk across the stage and you had to like write a little thing for what they were going to say when you walk across the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But for the teachers, when they read it, they were told you to like write like a, I don't know what's it called, like an acronym or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or you know when you like search words on like Google or whatever, like next to it there's kind of like a phonetic spelling, like how you would say it.
Yeah.
They told us to do that for it. And I felt like what I did was I wrote the word knee, like you have like a, like the body part. You have a knee, and K-N-E-E, and then the number, and then I wrote two, like T-O-O, like knee two.
Yeah.
Perfectly clear that way. But the way my name is spelled is N-E-E-T-U.
Mm-hmm.
So at the U, they get kind of confused.
Oh, do people give it the
Yeah. Though that's not... Need to is how you kind of say it in, like, in an English pronunciation.
Mm.
But if you said it with a Punjabi accent, you would say it Neetu.
Mm.
But I feel like it'll be weird to say that to people because then they would have to, like, Not that I don't want to share my culture. I'd just be like, oh, it'll be easier for you if you said it that way.
Right. I don't know. I like, I mean, yeah, you got to do what's comfortable for you and what you think people will respond to. But personally, I think it's good to make people do the work.
Yeah, I suppose so. I guess I'm just used to it now. I just go with need to just. I'm good with it now. I'm used to all the inconveniences it brings me. Though it's not many. It's not much to brag about.
And it's interesting to sort of, in a way, have two names, to have two pronunciations of your name.
But you don't, that's not actually my real name, though. That's my nickname.
Oh.
My real name is Gurneet. There's only one person who ever calls me that. It's a friend who went to the same elementary school, we went to the same high school, and now we go to the same university. Though she's in like the sciences, and yeah, she's in a separate department. Sometimes we run into each other. We ran into each other once, but in elementary school, I always went by Gurneet. When I got to high school, I started going by Neetu. I'm not really sure why. I think in the first year, I just kind of, my family would always call me Neetu, so I'm like, okay, let's just make this a thing. Let's just make it Neetu. So I'd always kind of tell the teacher, like, Neetu instead. But she had that habit, so she always calls me Gurneet. So whenever I hear someone call me that, I'm like, okay, it's Rajneet, that's my friend.
Right, yeah.
But I like it when she says it. It's just a nice nostalgia when she says it.
My family nickname is Bubba.
Oh.
Since I was a baby, my parents called me Bubba. So that's like, when I hear people call me Bubba, I know that they really know who I am.
I have a bunch of weird nicknames in my family. Like another, my brothers came up with one when I was taking like karate when I was a kid. And I got hurt. I had to get, like, stitches on my chin because I, like, tripped over someone and my chin hit, like, the windowsill. At the karate place I went to, no one had... I was, like, the most injured kid at this place. I was the most injured kid because I got, like, punched in the face. All these things just kept happening to me. No one else would get hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of comes with karate class,
yeah,
right?
But there was no one else. There was no one else who got as injured as me. It was never my fault either. I didn't punch myself in the face.
No.
And when I hit the windowsill, I was tripped. Not on purpose, but I was tripped.
Yeah.
And then I had to get stitches, and then what they came up with was chin stitch. Wasn't much of a nickname. Not a lot of work on it. But
wait, who called you that?
My brothers. It was probably my brother Tony who came up with it.
Oh, that's such a brother move.
I know. And then my dad, in Punjabi, the word jitty means bird. And my dad called me that once with love, for like bird. But then my brother Tony co-opted it. And now it's just annoyance. Whenever I hit jitty, I hate that word now. But I'm sure like everybody has those stories where you have like a nickname that's just given to you and you it's not one you like.
Yeah.
I hate those nicknames.
That's the worst.
I know. But okay, let's get back to the jacket. Let's focus.
All right.
So we've focused mainly on the back of the jacket. We're going to move to the front of the jacket. There's a patch on the... I know I said we're going to focus on the pins now, but there's this patch, which I'm just so curious about. It's a black patch. Black background. And then on it there's like two red ladders. Like two columns.
Yeah.
Like an Excel sheet, but the borders are red.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe
it. I could probably keep going. There's probably other analogies. So I'm gonna let you go ahead and tell me where you got this patch.
Well, that is a black background with what I would call a red gate.
Okay.
And it's a symbol for the venue Red Gate.
Okay. That might make more sense.
Which used to be at 855 East Hastings and is now at 1965 Main, I think. It's on Main at 4th. It's my favorite venue. And the place that I've played most with my band. And I wear that patch over my heart because I love them so much.
And then you have, let's move to the pins now. This one here.
Oh, good one.
Okay, this is a square pin, which is kind of like a chess board or a checkerboard,
mm-hmm.
where it's like has the two white tiles and then one's black, but then there's this one green one. I can't really read it, but it says in one corner it says support each other, and then the other side is in a different language.
Yeah, the other side says Chen Chen Stui.
Which means?
Which is, it means support each other. Chen Chen Stui is this, it's a game that was developed by Nahaney Creative. It's Michelle and Paisley Nahaney. And it's a... it's an indigenous game that's based on snakes and ladders.
Oh, okay. I love
but
that.
But it's called the Sinoke and Ladders, because Sinoke is this mythological indigenous figure who is like a serpent with two heads.
Mm-hmm.
And this can all be much better explained by Nahaney Creative if you look up their website. And they're currently giving, like, showing this game as a workshop to corporations,
mm-hmm.
And really any organization that's interested in, like, indigenous issues and acknowledging colonialism. So it's kind of a playful way to interact through a game with colonial themes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really beautiful game. You should check it out.
Does it work like checkers or chess, or is it more like...
Well, it works like Snakes and Ladders, you're on a board and you have you roll a dice to see where you go, but all the things you land on are like are about acknowledging privilege,
mm-hmm.
and like
then would that be a ladder or would that be a chute or a snake?
Well, if you acknowledge your privilege and you like help to support indigenous people, then you're moving up the ladder. And if you are offending or like say you invite a Squamish matriarch to come to your event and give the like opening ceremony speech, but you don't pay them, then you're going down the snake.
Okay, then you're going down.
Yeah, sorry. It's Nahaney Creative or Squamish, and I think I said Musqueam before.
It's early, yes, but that sounds cool. A board game to recognize colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this one next to it? It kind of okay. I have no idea how to describe this. It's like it's a blob. It's a pink blob.
And actually, that one I can't really get into because that was one that I just found and I don't know anything about.
Then we'll skip over that part of the jacket. Okay, what about this one on the side? Okay, this looks interesting. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is a rainbow.
I love hearing you describe these.
Oh, thank you. Instead of a rainbow, okay, it's a rainbow. But at the end of the rainbow, there's not a pot of gold.
Mm.
There's purple clouds on both ends. With green eyes inside,
mm-hmm.
and then they're crying, or maybe the clouds just raining. It could be either one, but I think it's meant that the eye is crying blue tears.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that from?
This is a patch by Kirsten Hatfield, who's a local artist, who makes these beautiful patches and beautiful like watercolors, and they work in a lot of different media. They also write zines and.
It could be like the perfect new Skittles commercial.
Yeah.
Have you seen those commercials?
Oh yeah, sure.
They're funny though. Sometimes I feel like, okay, you're kind of going on the line here.
Yeah. I should write "Taste the Rainbow Beneath It." But I like.
But you should probably ask the artist first.
This was a way of like for me, I really identify with this patch because I like the rainbow because it's about queer pride.
Right. Yes.
I like the tears because it's like it's about sadness and depression. And I like to represent that. A lot of these patches are like just like artwork that my friends have made that I really identify with, where I saw it and I said, ooh, I want that to be a part of what I'm wearing. because I think of this jacket as like a piece of art that I've assembled over the years out of my friend's art. And I really, like, I wear it when I want to feel brave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does make me feel brave. And I think partly because it looks like a cool guy jacket. And
it does.
You've mentioned cool a couple times in this episode.
And well, it is. It's really cool. Whatever I think. It's like the embodiment of the word cool.
Yeah. And I, like, I think people, like, a lot of the time I don't like the word cool because mm-hmm. I think that it's people kind of trying to, I don't know, there's all this
to
weird.
To me, it's like the word like.
Mm.
Because unlike in a poem where like is used to kind of compare something, when, like, you hear a lot of teenagers say, and I remember, like, it was like this when Justin Bieber, like, first started out, whatever you saw interview with him, he would always say the word like. Like, his whole mm-hmm. interview was just like, it's like this, it's like.
Yeah.
And it's similar to that, where it's just this word, it's just overused, and it's not the right meaning that's given to it. But this jacket is the correct embodiment of the word cool, like the modern meaning of cool and what I think it is, like showing, like, all the things that are important, like decolonialization and recognizing that there is something like colonialization and recognizing the LGBT community or the queer community and just and all those and Red Gate and venues like that maybe aren't so, and other venues that, you know, aren't so represented,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think of cool as like as style. Like it's not about saying like, oh, this guy's a cool guy and this guy's lame, or like
it's not one definition.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be about judging other people.
Mm-hmm.
It should just be like, hey, this is what I like aesthetically, the style that I appreciate, and this is aesthetically like how I want to represent myself, and what makes me feel good. Like it makes me feel confident, and
more than one thing can be cool.
Oh yeah, it's very subjective, and it's very like, you know, it's just like person to person.
Yeah, everyone's definitely. Got their. It's kind of like it's kind of similar to personality too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is how I want to represent myself with this jacket. This is what I want people to see, and I take that pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and I think, and that's cool too, in the way that we're talking about. And we've already gone over the time for the show, but luckily there isn't a show after me, so it's kind of okay, though not really. So we'll talk about one last one, which has been on my mind ever since I saw it.
Mm.
Okay, let me one last description. So it's another patch. It kind of looks like Pac-Man. It's yellow, but instead of like the open mouth, like the cutout mouth, instead it has a nose that points out with like a red nose, reindeer nose.
Mm.
It has like a droopy eye with kind of like a green / blue kind of teardrop,
mm-hmm.
and then with like a little sparkle next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, I don't know, is that, there's like a little, it kind of looks like an ear, like on a, like a flappy dog's ear kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then it has like these little dots, I guess, where like whiskers would come out, but it's not actually coming out, so it's just the dots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little yellow dog.
It's just a
cartoony dog that's crying. And that's by M. Partridge, who's a illustrator friend of mine and very multi-talented friend who makes these great patches. I have a few M. Partridge designs on this jacket. Yeah, they're a good pal, and this is also one of the very early patches from the jacket. It's been there a long time. And I like tears.
You like tears. There's quite a few on the jacket.
Yeah.
Yes, we haven't gone through the whole jacket, but that's quite a bit. Hopefully we can do another show, and we can talk about the rest of the jacket, because we can't fully talk about the jacket without touching all of the jacket. And not,
well put.
And not, yeah, I think I put it really well that I shouldn't continue on that.
That was great.
So that is the end of the show. Miles, you can end the show.
Oh. Well, thank you so much for having me. I almost wish that the show had ended just full stop when you said that's the end of the show.
I should have done that, but I didn't. I figured I should give you a chance to say something.
Well, look how that turned out.
Well, some, not every movie or every show has a complete ending.
That's true.
Some of them are awkward endings.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them you just don't understand. Have you ever seen Magnolia?
Yes, I love that movie.
I know. I love that movie, too. But if you don't know what it means before you watch it, you're not going to understand the ending.
No, yeah. And it's I don't think it really even has an ending. It's just left open.
Like, I think it's horrible when you say a quote and you don't know who it's by.
Hmm.
And you don't know it completely well. But I'm going to go for it anyway.
Go for it.
There's a quote that says, like, when a movie ends or when a show ends or whenever some sort of media ends, it doesn't really end. It always continues because the movies show the story might stop there, but really it continues. Because then you start to think, like, oh, what's going to happen? What would happen after this? Like, if you watch, like, romantic comedy, like, okay, this person has proposed to the other person. Like, okay, what's next? Okay, now they get married, and now all that kind of, like, Friends. Like, everybody wants, like, a Friends reunion.
Mm.
And you're, you know, because you're curious, like, what would happen next?
Mm-hmm.
It always continues.
What's the show beyond the show?
Yes. What's the show beyond the show? And hopefully the show beyond this show will actually happen.
Fingers crossed. You're listening to CC.
Yes. CC, thank you very much for using the acronym. And again, the show has ended awkwardly. But we're going to end it now.